Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. It's Thursday, October the 27th, and I know many of you are just dying to get this Halloween thing on the way. And it's so interesting this time of year, the different views people have on Halloween, child's play, fun, others of the devil, sinful, avoid it. And, you know, nobody's going to change their opinion. If you've staked out a territory, you're probably going to stick with it. But I'll tell you, I would never let my kids dress up as anything evil, or, you know, just anything that had to do with witches or things like that. That was where I was. We can enjoy this and go around and beg people to give us candy, because one day you may need to beg. It helps you with your begging skills, but it really is a tough time of year. It's a dilemma for a lot of people. I love it, these little harvest things that happen in celebrations where, you know, you just don't have to get in the depths of it. What I like to do with every program is start off talking about something that everybody disagrees on. And I hope that...
Let's stir up some conflict and upset.
Yeah.
I have a foot in both camps, because I'm hyper aware of the death culture and the celebration of it. And I don't think you can innocently celebrate that. And so I feel very cautious about celebrating Halloween in as innocent a way as possible that doesn't lean into the death side and the skeletons and the graves. I think it's a little risky to play with that side of things.
I do too. And I don't use the word celebrate. We don't celebrate Halloween. We celebrate Christmas. We observe Thanksgiving. We get through Halloween. Halloween. You know, we do that. Chris, you have a thought here that could offend more people than I have?
I don't know. I mean, my thought on all of it is I actually love it. Our neighborhood has, you know, it closes all the streets. It's a celebration of friendship. It's a celebration of neighborhood. There is a celebratory aspect to it that I really love. But I think it's critically important. Two scriptures come to mind, one New Testament, one Old Testament. And that is, let's not violate our conscience, as Paul is telling the Corinthians. Like, listen, if something is upsetting you and it is wrong for you to cross that boundary in your conscience, don't do it. Hold the boundary. That's really important, because I go back to the proverb and the wisdom of the proverb, to guard our hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, people have different sensitivities around this, and that's okay. And then the last thing is, be graceful towards those who think and believe different than you. And so, you know, my wife, much like Alice, is much more sensitive to these things. And so she guards her heart well by not participating or indulging in anything that would be dark or, like you said, death culture. Mm-hmm. And so we must honor that for people. And so I think those two things, go with your conscience, guard your heart.
I think that's really good. And to that end, now the jack-o'-lanterns that we carve, we're only going to carve them with smiley faces.
That's a culture of joy.
Yeah, I think we can pull that off.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. By the way, it is Thursday, and every Thursday there's a new episode of Life Recovery Today on NRB TV, and we're addressing today codependency as it relates to recovery. And I've seen a lot of people recover from a lot of things and hang on to a sick codependent relationship rather than develop that relationship into one of mutuality and help. I think the program today will help you. It's called Life Recovery Today. It used to be Life Recovery Yesterday, but then we realized we really needed to upgrade it to today. All right, we'll take a break. Come right back with more New Life Live. Chris Williams, Dr. Alice Benton, and you right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and how about we go to Sharon from Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Hello, Sharon. How are you today?
Well, doing well, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. What in the world is going on in your life?
Well, many, many things, but I'm calling today about my daughter. I met my husband when she was 6 months old. He had two children, 4 and 6, and I had a six-month-old. Their mother was not involved in their life, and we really felt like this was a family unit meant to be. And now that she's 9, I'm to the point where I think it should be time here soon, within the next year, to talk to her about her, that there is a biological dad. And my husband is in complete disagreement with me. And so I was just trying to get a sense from a professional on what the right thing to do is, because I don't want her to hate me at 20 because she doesn't know this.
Yeah, well, let's start with personal versus professional. If your father, who you loved as your father, wasn't your biological father, wouldn't you like to know that yourself, personally?
Of course. Of course.
So, I would, and I would eventually probably somehow find that out, and if you weren't the one that told me, I would be so angry at you.
Right.
Right? So, to me, I just don't think it serves a purpose to deceive. And then you've got the whole issue of, well, what if she develops some illness? And then at 14, they've got to do this DNA thing, and then she finds out that then, in the midst of some health crisis, well, it's not my biological father. But if she's got a great relationship with her father, then the other person that was the sperm donor to this person, well, it shouldn't be some kind of traumatic thing. She should be able to accept that things are different than you expected. And my view is the sooner someone finds out about things, the better. Not in the next year or so, but I'd want to tell her as soon as I could. But let's see what Alice and Chris, who frequently just disagree with everything I say, let's see what they have to say. What do you guys think?
Sharon, how would your husband explain his disagreement with you?
There's no reason for that. Why would we upset her? Why would we bring that to her? Is this because you're connected to this other person? Which is absurd. So they're just not, in my mind, rational thoughts. I don't want to speak disparagingly about his feelings, but to me, this has nothing to do with rejecting you and everything to do with truth and love.
And does your husband have any other reason for being worried about your connection with the father of your child other than revealing it to her?
I mean, I don't believe so. I can tell you he's insecure. I mean, so I think it stems from that. And I can tell you that I have never, ever, ever gone outside of my relationship with him, but he believed that years ago I did, and there's just no convincing him otherwise. And I never did.
Was his ex-wife unfaithful to him?
Yes, he's had a few women unfaithful to him, yes.
All right, so history's really being stirred up here by the revelation of your daughter's biological father. So if I were you, I would validate his fear, validate his history, that he has had many experiences with women who were not trustworthy. And I would ask to hear his heart about that and his worst fears of what will happen between you and the father of your child. And listen and empathize as much as you can. Try to take a position of understanding. But then make your own decision about revealing to your daughter. because although I hold in very high regard that we need to submit to our husbands, there should be a mutual submission, but not when it comes to something that's sinful. And I think if you did not reveal this information, it's a lie by omission. And so
It's a lie by omission, and the other kids know. I mean, so it's like, I don't like that.
There's just no one on here that's going to tell you ever, you know, we really believe that you should keep things like this a secret from children. Chris?
I want to shift the focus, because the focus is I don't want her to be mad at me. I don't want my husband to be insecure. I'm going to come hard on that one. The adults, because of the adults' lack of emotional safety, security, and personal security, the daughter gets to suffer. That's
right. I agree with you.
Okay, so no more. Because she's deserving of knowing her story. She's deserving of being able to walk through it. She is worthy of her own truth. And so it's not about what the adult, how the adults feel about it. I mean, it ultimately is, of course, because they've got to work through it. But it's ultimately about loving my daughter well and setting her up for flourishing and thriving and success as she's going to need to work through this very, very important information about herself. That's the first issue. The second issue, Sharon, I think you already know this. You got a crisis in your marriage.
Yes.
You got to get into marital counseling.
You do.
As soon
Absolutely.
As humanly possible.
Right.
Because this issue is not just going to bleed out towards your daughter. This issue is going to provide a toxin which is going to be contagious in the family.
Right.
Right? So we've got to deal with it. We've got to confront it.
Now, I want to know how you feel about this. You're married to this man, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're having a relationship with this man, and he thinks you are a liar.
I've had that conversation many times. Like,
well, how does that feel? How does it feel to want to be close to someone who thinks you're a liar?
Well, it doesn't feel good. I mean, I view it as almost, I feel like I'm so belittling to his feelings, but like, it's so silly to me. It is not my makeup. It's not who I am. I've never been that person. So,
well, I just don't think it's silly. I think it's a marital obstruction that, as Chris is saying, you need to deal with this, because I don't think you can fully give yourself to him. And I guarantee you, he can't fully give himself to you if he's walking around thinking you're a liar. I mean, I think there's great stuff that can be done with our intimacy in marriage. This would change if you'd go to intimacy in marriage with him. And I got to tell you, if it was me, if I had to take a lie detector test to prove that I am not the liar here, I'd be willing to do that. Because this...
I've said that. I'm willing.
It's so sad. But I just... I think you're settling here for a relationship that could be about 3,000 times better when you decide not to settle.
I agree. And I'm so worried. I think what I heard someone to say is to tell her, despite what he feels, which I agree with, but my fear is he... is an explosive person anyway, and so if she was to ask questions, that would just turn the house upside down. And so and that
you better get you and your husband in counseling, or come to intimacy in marriage, so that you can get on the same page, and you can have a unified front in this, because what you just described is not something you want to happen. Alice, your thought.
It can't happen in secret, Sharon. If you secretly tell your daughter and try to keep it from your husband, the explosion will be even bigger. So you'll have to proactively and with a safety plan tell him first that you both can understand his fears, but you must act on this anyhow. So you've got to deal with that before you tell your daughter, so that the environment is safer for her to have this information.
And I got to say this. Sharon, you're not invalidating his feelings. But his feelings are based on an untruth.
Right.
Which causes destructive actions. 100% I want you to invalidate a false belief and destructive actions.
I have a slightly different take on it. Because if your husband is at all a decent man and a decent husband, which is a question mark right now, given what you've described to us, rather than responding with so much defensiveness, it's ridiculous that you don't believe me. That's so stupid that you think that. Taking his history into consideration, actually, it makes sense that it's hard for you to believe me because you've had such a history of dealing with lying women. So I can understand that you don't believe me, and I'm happy to show you proof. What kind of reassurance would you like? Notice how I'm slowing my voice down. I'm lowering my tone, and I'm giving him understanding. A soft word turns away anger, and defensiveness hikes anger and upset and fear up all over the place.
Right. I agree.
So tell me how he does. I'm curious about his relationship with his mother. How's that going?
He thinks she hung the moon. She really is. Anybody that meets her thinks she's an absolute joy. But I have called her in times of need for both him and for our marriage, and was told this is too reminiscent of the bad parts of my marriage, and if you guys are going to be going through anything similar to this, then we won't come and visit.
Okay. Interesting. Really interesting.
So there's abandonment there, right? In some way, yeah. Like, hey, I love you, and I'm gonna tell you all these beautiful things, but I am also gonna tell you that my stuff with your dad was really bad years and years and years ago, and we're better now. And I'm not gonna go near anybody else that has bad stuff.
Yeah.
Because it just reminds me, it's too reminiscent of our pain.
Well, it's a bit of inconsistency there that she, you know, loves him, he loves her, and then there's this. So I would encourage you guys to get the help you need, and it's probably going to lead him down a path of dealing with some original issues with his mom and these other people that have hurt him. But I tell you, I told about this the other day. There was a guy really struggling in his marriage, and it was suggested that he write 3 letters, one to his mom and then these 2 other women that had been so cruel to him. And that experience alone was so healing for him. It changed. It was the beginning of radical change for him. And so here your husband is avoiding the help that he needs. And you are probably going to have to, at some level, demand that you guys do something. Because it's really sad to be in a relationship and try to have intimacy with somebody that thinks you're a liar. That's really tough. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you Mylon Kay's book, How We Love. I think it's a great, great book, great insight there. And his mom is even in there. So you'll read some stuff about that. And I hope that's going to be of help to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. But right now, I want to talk with Lisa from Gainesville, Virginia, listening on WAVA. Hi, Lisa. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
So I have a son who confided in me many years ago that he had a pornography issue, and I sent him Every Man's Battle. I encouraged him to go. He refused, and then he started dating a girl who's Christian, and my son's Christian as well. And there was a situation at home where he suggested, hey, because that's going on, why don't you move in with me? So now I found out from a family member that his pornography addiction is still an issue when he told me he had, you know, fixed it. And so my concern is my son needs to work on him, but I feel like he is dragged in this very innocent Christian girl who seems to be just attracted to my son.
Okay, and
so
how old is your son? How old is he?
He's 25 and she's 23.
Okay. Give you some help right after this. You're listening to New Life Live with Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams. two people that I really respect their wisdom, and I hope you've come to respect it also. And whenever they're on, we get to some really good issues because we kind of all disagree on certain things. We'll talk more about that when we come back. But if you need some help, we all agree that it's found at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You give them a call. We want to help you.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking here. Tough situation for Lisa. She knows her son is a porn addict, and he's living with a young woman, and she's concerned about the young woman. You know, it is pretty interesting how a guy who is a porn addict, says he's a Christian, how he can just get the porn to move in with him. Because if he's a porn addict, then he's much more interested in the quote-unquote object woman rather than person woman, relational woman. So I think you have a dilemma on your hands. I think that's why you've called. So I've consulted with Dr. Alice and Chris, and they're going to tell you exactly what to do to help both son and this young woman living with him. Okay, Chris, go.
Man, these are tough situations because you're dealing with, obviously, two adults that have consented to their own relationship, and yet one's a son that has this historical issue. Lisa, I would not start with the girl. I would start with your son. I would keep this issue as something that your heart is hurting over, that you're deeply concerned over, about him and about his life.
Could I ask you something really quickly?
Yeah, go for it. Absolutely.
So I don't know if you heard me, but a relative confided in me, which she does not want him to know, that he told me he beat it. He told me he beat the addiction. So if I came to him again, which I have, just to check in, he's like, no, I beat it. I'm good. And I'm like, really? That's great.
The relative told you what?
That he's suffering, and I can't know.
Okay, so why would that relative disclose that information to you? What's
because
the purpose?
He knows I'm a prayer warrior.
Okay.
He knows that if I stopped praying about it, that now I can go back and start praying for him again.
Okay, but now you're holding this information.
Yeah, I would definitely betray her trust.
Okay.
And maybe their relationship.
You're right about that. So I think you need to go back to her.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's given you information that has made your soul sick, your heart sick, right?
Yeah.
And that you have to hold the sickness. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't work. So I think there's a follow-up conversation to her of like, hey, this information is just not is not something I can hold in confidence because of what that does to me. So we've got to figure out what to do about this and how to confront this. So that you can continue being a prayer warrior for your son. Absolutely. But also that it's not eating away at you.
Right.
All right, so Alice, you have a thought?
If your husband is a healthy, good guy, I would want him to be part of some of these conversations and certainly the prayer. And hopefully you'll be able to bring to your son the truth that you know, your concern, and your offer of help. Whether it's father and son go to every man's battle, that we treat them separately, but they're there on the same weekend, and we've had that happen before. So that the girlfriend is told once, hopefully, your son is already receiving treatment for it. But if he refuses, if he denies, you'll probably have to lay the line down of, if you don't tell her, we need to tell her so that she can make a choice about this relationship.
Oh, she knows. She knows.
Okay.
She knows everything. Yeah. She knows he has a porn addiction.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what I'd be doing. If I were you, I would be wanting to develop a relationship with her because she's a person that's involved with your son.
Yes.
Okay. Then the other, so you not to tell her or express concern, but just to develop a relationship where she trusts you, and then later on down she might open the door for conversation about this. But the other thing is your husband needs to, I think, lean into his son and have some breakfast, lunch, dinners, and be able to say, hey, so how's the thing you struggled with for so long? How's that going? And then, you know, he can talk about that situation. He can might bring up the fact that, well, you know, sometimes guys don't look at porn because they've got it living right there with them. And how are you doing on your relationship? Are you being truthful in your relationship? Do you care about her as a human being, not just what she can do for you or how she makes you feel? So I think both of you, your biggest influence isn't talking about the issue. It's developing relationship trust to where that issue is, when you're trusted, it's probably going to come up. And you're going to be able to express to her some caution that she needs to have. But also, the husband needs to be encouraging him, let's keep working on this thing. You don't have a program for growing. And if you don't, I'm afraid it's going to be obvious when she leaves, you're right back where you were. You might be there right now. And the evidence of that is that he has a value as a Christian, but he doesn't care about that value. Here's what I think is worse. I think it's worse that they're living together than that he is a porn addict.
Because I
agree. That is a much bigger hurt to her than than even the addiction is. And so I'd want to be having a relationship where all of these things could be discussed with them. Okay? That's the best I can do. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and the call with Lisa brought up so many different things. And, you know, when a person is living with your relative, your son, to not speak some truth into both of their lives, I think is a mistake. You have to have the right attitude when you do it. But I do think speaking some truth and asking some questions really can be helpful. But they must trust you. It's not something you can just decide, I'm going to do this today, even though we haven't talked in years.
When we speak a negative truth about someone else, if we can pair it with a negative truth about ourselves, I'm also a sinner, I've made plenty of my own mistakes, that helps the listener receive the truth about themselves. It levels the playing field.
True. All right. I hope that goes well and something good will come from that. Larry Sonnenberg is here. And Larry, well, 27th. What do you have for us? I hope it's not some testimony about Halloween, but what is it?
No, but it is a testimony.
Oh, good.
A week from tomorrow is Every Man's Battle, and
it's going to be a special time. They always are. And this gentleman, I like this testimony. It's from a single guy. Here's what he said. He said, I was initially concerned, and then parenthesis, worried, at the beginning of the workshop that this was not going to make the impact I needed in my life. However, at the closing exercise, I received exactly what I needed, and I will never look at the gospel the same again. During our first session, I couldn't fathom how in just 2.5 days my life and approach to sexuality would change significantly. But through the staff's persistence, transparency, love, and sticking to the truth, I became convinced that I was going to head back home a changed man. I have faith that God is with me and has given me every tool needed to invest in my redemption. Although I'm not married, this workshop was relevant and fulfilling for me. I now understand better how God sees me. My life is not over. God has shown me through this weekend, that I can and will begin again starting now. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Well, that's fantastic. Especially, like you're saying, coming from a single guy who didn't think it was going to do anything for him. You know, that's just an amazing transformation.
So, guys, I want you to sign up and come. But even beyond that, I want you to come and stick with it all the way through. Commit to the process of the weekend, because something will happen. God always shows up. We always say the Holy Spirit moves and makes a difference for those guys who are more transparent and vulnerable than he does those that are not.
Yeah.
So if you would be vulnerable, transparent, and let it all out, don't go to your grave with a secret, let it out here, God will make a difference. And folks, if you could support us in that financially, we appreciate it. Might be a scholarship fund, might just be a general gift. You might join Club New Life. Whatever, it's going to help further this ministry and to do more and to do better than we've always done.
Sure will. And that number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And Larry, I love that thing about, you know, opening up about things you never have. And tomorrow we'll look forward to you opening up about something you've never shared on radio before.
I can hardly wait.
Fantastic. Be a fantastic experience for everybody. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry. Let's go to Michael, Toronto, Ontario, Sirius XM. Hey, Michael, how are you?
It's well with me today, thank you. How is it with you?
It is well with my soul. It is. Now,
help for you, brother. Hallelujah.
How could we help, or what's going on with you today?
Well, I love your program. I listen. This is the only station I listen to on Sirius Radio because it has the content that I love.
Good.
And heard one of your callers just a little while ago.
Yeah.
That had an issue with somebody that was of strange flesh or transgender or whatever you may want to call it.
Right.
But the response was, and, you know, I should tell you, in all sincerity, I've been on the line waiting for 35 minutes because I really wanted to address the issue and ask this question. So it was said that we should address these people by whatever they want to be called by.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question to you is, where does it say that in the text?
Well, it doesn't say that, and we actually had a little discussion about that, and, you know, from time to time we do disagree on things, and I've talked to Alice about this, and I was telling her that I don't ever call somebody by the name that they want to be called if it was different than the name that they're born with, because I don't think I have to. I don't have to say their name. I can talk with somebody and not say their name. It just is, I don't make it an issue. You know, I don't say, Betty or Bucky, I need to talk to you. I just say, hey, I need to talk to you. Makes it more natural. So I don't think we need to do that. There might be some circumstance where that might be the only way to get their attention or something, but I am not in the habit or do not think I've ever called a person who changed their name based on gender confusion or anything like that, I don't think I've ever called them by the new name. What do you think of that, Michael?
Thank you, brother, for strengthening my faith, because I'll tell you, it was pretty rough hearing that prior to what you've said. And I am so thankful, because Scripture says that it's reproof for setting all things straight. And I thank you very much, brother, for sharing that word, because it's so true. The Lord said, speak it the way you want it to be. And when we speak, it's He is inside of us. So we're to speak the words that are the Holy Spirit is leading us,
all
as
right.
you just said.
Amen.
So
now, let me send you a... I'm thankful for you waiting and holding and talking to us about that. I'm going to send you Every Man's Bible. I think you're going to love that Bible. And why don't I just go ahead and throw in the one-year Bible for men, and we'll get that to you. And God bless you. I'm so glad Sirius allows us to be broadcast in Canada. It's a really, really wonderful thing. All right, let's go to... Oh, did you want to say something, Alice?
I do want to comment, because I believe that Michael and everybody else questioning this, what's the best right thing to do? I think that there is room for disagreement, because some of us might think, am I participating in a lie, and am I enabling sin by calling them by this new name that they have chosen? And you might also think... As we're called that to love, that loving God and loving our neighbor are the most important commandments. I actually think that for some of us, for me, I need to decide on a case by case basis what God is asking of me in this situation. And so I don't have a blanket decision of I will always call someone by their new name. I will always just blindly accept that this is their new gender. This is who they are. But rather, with every person, I have to ask God, how do I best love this person? And at what point and in what way do I bring an opposing truth to them? So sometimes I need to build relationship before I bring an opposing truth. And if I sense permission from God to do so, I'm willing to call them by their new chosen name, so that in building relationship, I can then bring an opposing truth to them later that they might be able to hear. But it's fine, Michael, for you to disagree with me, or Steve to disagree with me, because I think that there is enough gray area in this. While I'm trying to follow biblical principles, that I've chosen to do it one way, but somebody else could think I'm wrong and could do it another way. And I'm happy for God to show me where I'm wrong and to correct the error of my ways as well. So I also appreciate your call, Michael.
Well, when you sign up for being on New Life Live, that you may be disagreed with. And I think the point would be that if we call a person who was born biologically male, and now we call them by the female name they've chosen, that it might be an endorsement of their newly claimed gender. And that's just, I think... I hear what you're saying about the love response, and I just think that, you know, sometimes it's difficult to know what to do, but I don't do that because I don't want to endorse this new thing that they think, because I got to tell you, when you look at this, the regret and the presence online of regret in what has happened, it just grows and grows. And the studies that show people don't regret are absolutely flawed. And Patrick Sprinkle got a great program that can really give you some great insight into all of that. Well, we're going to stop this controversy and go to a break and come right back with more of New Life Live. Really glad you're with us here today on New Life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, Steve Arterman here. We're going to go to Carolyn, and Carolyn's calling from Campton Hills, Illinois. Listens on Sirius XM. Carolyn, how you doing, and how can we help you today?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, yes. Yes? Yes, we can hear you, Carolyn. Now we cannot hear you. So that's weird. Hold on.
Okay, now.
Okay, all right.
Yes. Here. Okay, so I was calling because in the prior segment they were talking about the COVID lockdowns and how they were detrimental to marriages and families. And I wanted to give another perspective on that.
Yeah.
How it's affecting marriages around in my community right now. We were kind of in a different situation than most people probably were. And we were very blessed because most of our husbands were considered essential workers. So during those lockdowns, we didn't have the financial burdens and the stresses that probably most other people had.
Yeah.
But what we did find is such a blessing because the moms found that we were able to clear out all the clutter out of our daily lives. Uh-huh. And really just have our kids and our family home together, sitting at a table, eating homemade meals. And especially those of us who had college kids, it's probably the last mm-hmm. time that we ever had our kids at home at the same time, sharing the meals together, being together. Even if we weren't in the same mm-hmm. room, we were under the same roof.
Well, and Carolyn,
really, really
I hate to label people, but I'm going to give you a label, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Wonderful. You're a wonderful person because people like you, no matter what the situation, you find a way to make things better mm-hmm. rather than use it as an excuse for things to fall apart. And I really admire you for that. And there's no question that some people, those rare folks like you, they did. Everybody huddled up together and snugged up together and watched movies or did projects and they made it better. And it really is a great thing to bring it up today because we're in the aftermath, and for many folks, it drained every resource you have, maybe even financially, but I'm thinking of personally. And so now you're not doing too well because you've got all these normal challenges, but it was so difficult mm-hmm. in the confusion and all. And so you're a great person to be saying, let's do try to make the best of it. And then it's never easy to get back in the routine again.
No.
And so here's what I think is important is that you have a post kind of thing, like to tie up the horse to, mm-hmm. that you don't give up this one solid thing that you established. And maybe it was game night Tuesday night, or maybe it was devotional time every evening. But be sure mm-hmm. you don't give up everything as you get back in the routine, that you all have this place in common you come back to, and that really can help you in the transition. And I'm going to ask Alice or Chris if they have anything to say before we've got one more caller I have to get to before the program is over. Chris, Alice, anything you want to say?
I just think real quickly, I think it's important to recognize that for many people, there was aspects of the shutdown that really, really helped us recenter, like you said, Carolyn, declutter and de-busy and de-overwhelm our lives.
Yeah.
And I think that as we have moved back into the sort of helter-skelter type of activities, it's important that we learn and take what we can with us. As you said, Steve, the more simple, the more pared-down life that allows our lungs to take a deep breath, our hearts beat to slow down, and for deeper connection to occur.
Yeah. Alice, you have a quick thing before we go to Phil here. And by the way, I'm going to send Carolyn 1 year Bible for women. I think it's a good one. Alice, anything you want to say?
We can just trust God's promise that he will work all things for the good, shutdown, tragedy, loss, for those of us who believe in him. And that was evidenced in Caroline's life.
Yep. And she's evidence of the God of wonder. That's why I said she was wonderful. She's creating wonder in the midst of really crummy situation. Let's go to Phil, Post Falls, Idaho, KBXL. Don't have a lot of time, but Phil, I did want to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Well, sir, thank you for taking my call. I just read your book, Take Your Life Back, and mm-hmm. Boundaries book. I've been married for 48 years, and
40 years ago, I started to beat my head in, to beat myself in the head to make sure that my wife would believe me, because she didn't trust me after 9 years of a voice that I didn't even know I had. This is the voice I had. She said it was bad and stuff. So I tried to build trust in by doing that. And I know when I started it, I was just going to just I was hoping that it would tail off and go. But now it's got to the point where I'm hitting myself so much I'm knocking myself out, not even knowing who I am for days. So I've come to the point now where I'm reading the book Boundaries and Take Your Life Back. I'm standing up to her, but I want to know that it's right, because it's hurting her very badly that I'm not doing what I was doing, and she won't accept that part of it, because we're very codependent. She has some mental problems and stuff too. She's paranoid schizophrenic. I just want to, I'm kind of looking for some affirmation that it's okay to stop, and even if it hurts her a little bit, it's okay to stop.
Okay. Now, she's paranoid schizophrenic, right?
That's correct.
So nothing you do is going to have a, quote-unquote, normal or predictable reaction, wouldn't you say?
Yes. I'm realizing that now.
Okay.
Yes.
And who is helping the two of you navigate a marriage where one of you is paranoid schizophrenic? Who's your go-to person?
She has been managing it, and now I want to find somebody to manage it.
She is not managing it.
She says, if I go get... No, we're not. She said if we go to counseling, she'll get a divorce. But now I'm saying you're going to have to do what you want to do, and we need help. I'm going to get counseling.
Yeah.
So coming to talk to you on the radio today, she said she'll get a divorce if I do it, but I said, that's your choice.
Yeah. Well, let's see what Alice and Chris have to say, because that's, you can't be held hostage by a paranoid schizophrenic who says, if you make me go to counseling, I'm going to divorce you.
I think you always continue to do your own character work, and you check on what did that 9 years of a bad voice mean? Is that something from her paranoia? Was I harsh with my wife? Was I unkind to her with my voice? But you're going to have to seek outside counsel probably to figure out the answer to that question, because she's not a reliable source of information.
Right. Yeah.
Actually, I have the answer from a reliable source. That my voice, this is my voice that she said was very harsh.
Okay.
So, well, Phil,
she wants me to talk to her.
Let me ask you a question. Are you
the voice?
Are you the one hitting yourself, or is that her?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. No, me.
What leads you to hit yourself?
Well, when I couldn't please her to make her understand that she was loved, I tried to show it by doing that, which I realized for years that it's not right, but I didn't know what to do to change it because she didn't want to get counseling, and she threatened me with all this.
Yeah. So Steve mentioned what I call a first principle. First principle of other people's behavior that we really come to face-to-face with in addictions, but obviously mental illness as well, is powerlessness. But her illness is hurting you, and that's where you're right. You need boundaries. So the first thing you need to do is that self-harm is very dangerous. You go take care of you. You see a therapist. You see so that you can return back to your own reality, to your own sense of self, and your own health to make healthy decisions.
And you know, the problem with being a human is that when one person has a problem, sometimes the reaction to the problem can become a problem.
That's very true.
So both need the help. And I hope you'll do it. Either let us find a counselor for both of you. Come to Intimacy and Marriage. If you need help, it's 1-800.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.